Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hour in finance radio. And again, as you guys know, we can say that. We can make that blanket statement because it's a one-horse race. It's our favorite kind. Not a lot of finance radio going on. And if it is, it's usually the infomercial style. Funny story. People in Portland probably haven't heard this one. I know the people up in Seattle have. But when we first started doing this show, we got approached by people, and they said, "Hey, you guys should do this show with us." And I just said, "Listen," and this is no knock on anybody. You guys know I don't talk bad about other firms, and we focus on what we do. But there's no knock on anybody else. But I grew up a huge AM radio fan, and I always lamented getting in the car on weekend and having to listen to the infomercial style stuff. Right. And so I just said, as a huge fan of talk radio and the medium in general, because I still love it. I love doing the show. But as a big fan of talk radio in general, I just said, look, first of all, isn't radio a worn out medium? Meaning people actually get clients off radio. Are you kidding me? That was my first thought. Little did I know. And then second, it was, look, in order to get clients or in order to get people's interest, if you need to do that infomercial approach, which is why they do it, just so you guys know, kind of like a thing behind the scenes, there's a formula to getting people to call in. Okay, and it works for a while, and then usually it loses its efficacy, but there's a formula. And I just told the guy right out of the gate, I was like, look, if we have to do an infomercial like that, that I've always, that I grew up lamenting, that I never wanted to listen to, I was like, I just can't do it. And they're like, well, yeah, but then, you know, at the end of the day, you need to get calls to make it worth your time. And you know, if you do it the other way, and I go, you know what, then we'll give it a 6-month trial run. We're going to do it our way. We're going to have interviews. I'm going to get other colleagues on that I think have really good perspectives and are smart money managers. And we're going to do it like a real radio show. I can't personally respect doing it any other way. And if it fails, it fails. And thank you for you guys. Thanks to so much to you guys. It didn't fail. And that was 6 years ago. Here we are. So when I say it's a one-person race, it kind of is. I don't really think anybody's actually out there doing a show like we do it. But anyway, I was explaining this to the people on KTTH. For those of you that don't know, we've got a 3-minute intro. You guys know the story. Anyway, I was explaining to the people on KTTH that the weird summer scheduling continues. We have a packed show today, okay? So don't think that it's going to be boring. It's not. Tons of interesting topics, too. But the crazy summer schedule continues. We were going to had a great interview planned for Friday, but I'd forgotten when I booked it that I have to go to a bachelor party this weekend for my future brother-in-law, nicest guy in the world, Mary and my little sister. They're actually both coming to work for Bulwark. So it's kind of cool, right? It's kind of like... I mean, she's my sister. She's an adult, but it's, you know, it's kind of like a kid too. I hope she's not listening. That'll tick her off. Anyway, so, and by bachelor party, he's marrying my sister. So I can assure you, when I say bachelor party, this is a barbecue and a golf trip. So you guys know I like golf a little bit. Oh, anyway, the other thing I forgot was I am sure that many of you have been waiting with bated breath to figure out how the club championship went. Kind of a glad, sad story. And of course, I'm joking. I know there's been no sleep lost. Oh, God, I can't wait for next Saturday. Got to hear how Zach did. I realize that. But glad, sad story. We played okay. If you guys have ever played in those tournament events where you got a partner, you really got to ham and egg it. You got to make sure. The biggest key to it is that you don't have good holes on the same hole and you don't have bad holes on the same hole. We both played decent. We just played together. So when we had a bad hole, we did it together. So we took second in our flight, missed out on the horse race, the championship. That was the first year I haven't been in it. So we didn't win it, But we played well. We played well, had a blast, and we're back. So like I said, you know I like golf. So we turned this into a golf, it's a golf party. It's a bachelor party, but it's a golf party. Anyway, and so we had to bump the interview again to next week. That was my fault. I completely forgot. The summer's just getting away from me. Holy Moses, it goes fast. And I know a lot of you can sympathize with this. You know, I think time just goes faster as you get older. It also goes into warp speed when you have kids. It's just amazing to me. My little girl turned 11. My sweet Avery turned 11. What was that? A month ago, almost to the day. Yeah, the 22nd. 11 already. It's mind blower. So anyway, let's get to the show, specifically the market update. I have a great one for you today. And that was actually okay that the interview got pushed off. Because like I was telling people in the 3-minute warm-up, I've heard too many of the same questions and comments, and I've got a stack of different things. I'm hoping we've got enough time to get to them, but we also needed the full hour show. I just couldn't fit this in. I didn't want to split it into two different things because I think the topics marry up well together. But before we get into that, oh, and then also so you guys know, right, this is not going to be, because I got to go to Tahoe, we're recording the show on Wednesday, so it's not going to be up to date, but there's plenty to talk about. There's plenty to talk about. So first of all, market update. You know, cryptocurrency is always a hot topic. Crypto's gotten rocked. Today, you kind of see Bitcoin climbing back above that 30,000 mark. That's kind of key for that. And guys, for a lot of you out there that aren't involved in crypto, you guys know our position on it. We've owned a little bit here and there and traded a little bit, made some really good money on it, but it's just not something that we're going to put a lot of our clients' money into. And by a lot, I mean, we never want our clients to have more than 2% of their overall portfolio exposed to it. If we see a trade opportunity, great. There's things I like about crypto. You heard the interview we did last week, and if you didn't, go back and listen to it with Mike Krieger, a very smart and honest crypto guy. Guy I really respect. And as always, guys, if you like the show and you listen to it, log on to the podcast. It's so much easier. You can listen to it whenever you want, you know, so you're not stuck, you know, again, I don't think people are like running to the radio like it's, you know, Annie Oakley or something like that. Or what was it? Orphan Annie. Remember in the Christmas story, it was Orphan Annie and your secret decoder ring and keep drinking your Ovaltine. I don't think people, people are running to the huddled around the RCA radio in the living room. But just in general, if you like the show and you like listening to the interviews and the show in general, do the podcast. Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Stitcher. You can get it on Podbean. You can get, I mean, it's pretty much on any podcast deal out there. So anyway, crypto, at this point, guys, I think crypto really is more of a liquidity metric and a investor sentiment metric. When the liquidity is flowing and the bulls are on parade, I expect crypto to do well. It's almost like the VIX, right? And when the market's not doing well, when it hits a hiccup, I'd expect crypto to get pounded even harder. So it's definitely worth taking. It's definitely worth keeping an eye on, even if you're not invested. All right. So the other thing that is interesting to me now too, and you guys know that we've been talking about how we thought you'd see the market really take off and run away, right? Really act as if it's broken out of this range that we've been in, or we expected some volatility. Well, we've kind of gotten a little bit of both, right? I think I told you guys this last Wednesday because of that way we were viewing things. We loaded up actually in the value portfolio. I think it was our second largest position. We were long volatility looking for this. And then it hit. On Monday, and the VIX was up, what was it, up 23% that one day. Our long vol position was up like 16 or 17 in a single session. So we've actually had a really nice week because we were basically flat on Monday. Market was down 1.7. Maybe our portfolios were down 0.2, something like that. And then we were up 1.5% yesterday. We're up 1.4% today. So we've played that right so far, but it's hard to know what's going on here because the market is just playing with these technical levels. You know, I think the level to watch right now on the S&P is 43.61. You just pull up a chart over the last month and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. There's been several fails at 4361. And then the couple times you've broken through, you've seen some big follow through to the upside. So I think that 4361 level is going to be big. My suspicion is that we're not out of the woods yet. This feels like a little bit of a sucker's rally, a little bit of a buy the dip kind of muscle memory, right? People are buying stocks just because they're down. And do we have a new high? We might. No, I don't think we're quite there yet. Let's check the Dow here. I want to see where we're at. No, not quite. I think all-time closing high on the Dow is 35091. So a little off on that too. And again, you're bumping right up against those resistance lines. Maybe, I mean, this has been the longest sideways grind, right? We've been talking about this for 3.5-4 months. I think we're going to know one way or the other in the next week or so, and it could be by the end of this week. This is not a chance for those people at home, though. This is not a situation where we're loading up on risk here. I explain it to our guys all the time. I like situations like this because I think they're pretty easy to play on a technical basis, right? You got to stay long stocks, to me, as long as the NASDAQ stays above 14,002. Okay, you get below 14,002, you need to be hedged, you need to take some risk off the table. Especially guys, like I said, we're not trying to play the markets. We're not trying to time trades here. Okay, what we're trying to do is make sure that if markets continue to go up by all this liquidity floating around and all the cash and inflation that's coming, all the things that we know, if markets continue to go up, that we continue to go up with them. But we also want to be cognizant at the same time. That we're sitting on all-time high valuations. Okay, you can get a 20 or 30% pullback because the wind blew the wrong direction. You can get a 40% pullback. Think about this. If you return to the long-run average of the S&P 500, the long-run average is 16. Now, I'm not saying we're going back there. I'm just saying the long-run average over the last 200 years or so, 150 years, the S&P has averaged about a 16 price-to-earnings ratio. To get back to a 16 price to earnings ratio would take something like a 65 to 75% market decline. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Now, I'm not saying that's happening, but I'm saying that gives you some perspective on how overvalued we are. Okay, now put another piece of perspective. After the dot-com bubble blew and after the financial crisis bubble blew, the market dropped far enough to where it got down to a 9 price to earnings ratio. Now, again, with interest rates where they are and the backdrop of fiscal spending, I don't think that's in the cards. Is it possible? Certainly. But if you had that happen, you're talking like an 85% loss, right? Which is pretty crazy. Now, that's assuming earnings stay where they are and things like that. But you guys get what I'm saying. I think these technical levels are huge. We are currently hedged. We took some off. Like, again, that position was up 17% on Monday. So we took some off, harvested some profits, which was nice because then you got that huge bounce back yesterday. You're getting some follow through today, but volumes are light. We're still not there. And this is that spike in volatility that I've been talking about and that I've been expecting, you know, that this would hit some point over the summer. And the reason that that's worth looking out for, guys, is you know what we were doing when those volatility positions were up on Monday and we were flat and the market was down 1.7? We were adding a little. We were taking some of that volatility profit that we made and we were adding to some of our favorite positions that were getting beat up. Right? That's that whole managing in reverse thing. Right? When we can get little wins like that and we can protect against loss to the downside, don't get me wrong. It's nice that we didn't go down. But the real benefit is that we didn't go down and we can buy other things that did. Right? So defense is your best offense. And that's risk management. So anyway, I've run over here. We got to take a quick break. But we will be right back. As always, give us a call, guys. If you're sitting there watching it on Monday and you're like, oh, geez, here it comes, right? We bounce back quick. But if that went through your mind, right? And if you'd rather looked at your portfolio and seen it down 0.1%. I'm not saying we do that every time, but you get what I'm saying. You're seeing proof of what we've been talking about. I was telling you that volatility was coming. It came. And if you want people that are watching it at these levels and are actively managing your portfolio and can take what happened on Monday and turn it into gains, call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. If you just want to know that somebody's constantly watching over your portfolio and taking evasive maneuvers when things start hitting the fan, call us. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, boardcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. We'll be right back. Stick with us. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, so we've got a shorter segment here. We've only got about 5 minutes to work with. But wanted to wrap up market update. What else is interesting? The volatility in the energy complex has been interesting. Just pull up a chart of oil this week. Look at those rips. I mean, it is just whipsawing back and forth. Again, doesn't surprise me either. You guys have been hearing me talk about this since last October. I said, look, we really think that value is the place to be. The tech ran its course. Again, I get things wrong. That call proved to be 100% correct so far. And then we also said that we thought energy of those sectors was the place to be. That's been pretty dead solid too. It's been a very good run. We also said along the way that we think it's a generational opportunity to buy energy stocks. We also don't think it's going to be an easy hold, right? There's going to be volatility. There's going to be moments that make you, what my dad used to always say, question your religion, right? That's just part of the game. I was explaining it to a client earlier today. I said, listen, there are times where we always want to pay attention to performance. We always want to know where we're at in reference to. And that's, you know, and that's exactly how this has played out. Those energy stocks and the commodities in general, the commodities really didn't get hit that hard. The energy stocks did. And then we're seeing fierce comebacks this week. Again, one of our holdings, BTU, is up 15, 16, 17% today. The oil stocks are up big. You know, everybody wants to know what happened. Look, when markets go down, it's because, you know, there's more that people are willing to sell at lower prices. Okay. And when markets go up, it's because people are willing to buy at higher prices. Right. One of the other things I hate is when people say there's money on the sidelines. We've all heard that quote. It's a complete joke. For every stock sale, there has to be a stock purchase. There is no money on the sidelines. Okay, it's a misnomer. It's kind of like bonds go up when stocks go down. Nope, that is not historically accurate. There was a period of time where that happened, from 1980 to 2008. But outside of that period of time, that is not the case. So, you know, with oil, again, guys, I still think you got a generational opportunity there. We got to stick with it. Natural gas space is dangerous, crazy volatile. See some great opportunities there, obviously, in coal. I know that makes some people angry, but that's not my problem. My job is to do the best thing I can for my clients, as long as we're being legal and not breaking the law. But, you know, that whipsawing there in these commodities, I don't expect it to go away. Uranium getting a nice bounce back today, but it's been hit hard. It's well off its highs. And these are, like I said, these are the types of corrections I told you that are going to be along the way. They're going to hurt. And that's something that you got to remember, that A, the value of hedging, it's just not so your account's down. It's also so you can use the profits from those hedges to buy more of the stuff that got beat up. Right? It's that managing in reverse thing that we talk about. The benefits of active management. They are there. Like I said, Nat Gas been really volatile too. Nat Gas has actually been hanging there. It's even been a little more steady than oil. Like I said, the uranium stuff was getting rocked. What else did we want to go over with you guys? Anyway, looking at what happened on Monday. So I had several clients call and they go, look, Zach, I know that these things don't always have reasons, but what happened on Monday? Guys, this market, in my opinion, over the next several years and probably for several years to come, this market to me is going to boil down to one thing. It's inflation versus deflation. Okay, that to me is going to be the number one. You can think of it as dollar strength, dollar weakness. Okay, that to me is going to be the big driver. I think you can get a lot of things right. If you get that wrong, you're going to lose money. I conversely think you can get a lot of things wrong, and if you get that right, you're going to make money. It reminds me of the period of time, 1968 to 1983. That over that 15-year period of time, the stock market was negative. Over a 15-year period of time, the bond market got blown to pieces. But if you were in inflationary assets, if you were in metals, if you were in oils, if you were in energy, if you were in any of that stuff, you crushed it. I mean, you crushed it. Silver went from $5 to 50. Gold went from 35 to, what was it? Did it hit 1,000? Just shy of it? Oil went through the roof. You guys remember fuel lines? I think that, now, I just don't know if that's starting 18 months from now. I don't know if it's starting 12 months from now. I don't know if it's starting 60 months from now. But I know between now and when it actually takes off, there's going to be bouts like this that scare you, and you got to have the wherewithal to stick through it. Okay, so that's it for the market update. We got to get running. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about psychology, a little something called the Dunning-Kruger effect. Had a funny call this week I want to tell you guys about. We got to get rolling. It's time to, we got to take a quick break, but stick with us. And guys, as always, at any, call us if you want to know how we're managing risk, if you want to know how we're lowering cost, increasing upside potential, and managing, most importantly, and I think this is going to be the most important thing over the next 2 years, unfortunately, it's managing that downside risk. If you want to know how we're doing that while lowering fees and actually increasing upside potential, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, again, 866-779-RISK. You guys know the drill. We'll be right back. Stick with us. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. Story Monson, a great way to learn about long-term care and have your questions answered is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for their free long-term care planning live webinar Wednesday, August 11th at 3 p.m. You will learn so much. They'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will do what they did with my wife and me. They will sit down, design a custom plan with you.
Brian Ott, Madeline, they're just great. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay our estate back if we never use it. So I love the time they spent with us. You will learn so much. Get great peace of mind, long-term care coverage that 525 Advisors gave my wife and me. Sign up now for the free live webinar Wednesday, August 11th, 3 p.m. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. So anyway, let's get right to this because I got a ton of stuff I still want to get to and I got to keep myself moving here. I get a little bit too invested in some of these topics. But I want to talk to you guys. This is going to be called the head shrink period of time, right? We're going to put on our psychiatrist hats because I got a call this week. It's not unlike other calls I've gotten or emails or even mail. It's pretty funny to get a piece of mail, especially somebody that's mad at you. And actually, you know, it's one of the things I've liked about this show because, and I don't want to get derailed here, but you guys have often heard me say, you need to be very, very careful about injecting your politics into investing. This is hard enough when you're just focused on investing, let alone if you're investing around your political ideals. Okay, and in my opinion, it's a great way to get blown up. Another thing, in my opinion, is the people that you think are successful investors that do that, they're not. They're not. Okay, they might talk a good game. You need to understand that very rarely will you see one of these investors on a show, on TV, doing an interview where they are not talking their book. Okay, they're going to say things in the interview to get more money into their firm so they can manage more and make more. They're going to say things to get people to buy the stocks that they own, right? These people aren't stupid. They're somewhat sociopathic, a lot of them, but they're very good at what they do. And then the other thing is they're not like the rest of us, meaning they're never off. Nothing is ever just doing it for good, right? If most of these, especially big time billionaire hedge fund man, they don't do anything for good. Now, there might be times where doing something good happens to align in their best monetary interest in the long run. But we have to be very careful who we're listening to, why we're listening to them. We got to understand why we're listening to them. Why are they saying what they're saying? What is their angle? Right? What are they trying to get out of us? And yeah, that's true for all walks of life, but I think especially in investing. So anyway, but I wanted to dig in to a psychology that I think is dominating this market. And the best way I can describe it is something called the Dunning-Kruger effect. Now, I want to lay a little bit more groundwork. There may be times where if you hear this segment, you might think I'm coming across arrogant. I'm not at all. I want to use this as an illustration. Okay, so the Dunning-Kruger effect is something that's been studied extensively, and I think it's fascinating. And it's also one of those things that I love it when there's anecdotal knowledge, like, you know, when you know things, when there's anecdotes about things, and then they actually do scientific studies and it bears it out. It always reminds me of my coach Frosty Westering used to say, gentlemen, it's not good because it's old because it's good, right? And it's always interesting to me, too, because you got these anecdotes that come from 100 years ago or 200 years ago or whatever the case may be, back when they didn't have the technology or knowledge to really prove this. And yet now that they have that technology and that knowledge, they find out that the old anecdote was correct. And the Dunning-Kruger effect is very much that same way. And the Dunning-Kruger effect is an extensive study, a series of studies that was done that has looked at people and looked at two things. A, their knowledge base in a particular topic. Okay, so in this case, investing. And then looking at how their knowledge base versus their level of confidence coincides. And what the study showed extensively was that the lower your knowledge base is, the higher your level of ignorance in any topic, typically speaking, the higher level of confidence you are in the things you think you know. Conversely, the more you know about a subject, typically the less you think you know, right? The more the more increase in knowledge is the increase of sorrow, right? Going back to biblical times, It's not a new phenomenon. Solomon was talking about it 2,000 years ago. And it's just interesting to see this play out. Now, the reason I bring that up is because I think the Dunning-Kruger effect is one of the largest drivers in the market right now. And the reason I say that, and I'll pull it back to how we started this conversation, I received a phone call this week. I didn't talk to the person. One of our people on our staff did. As you guys can imagine, especially this day and age, if you're out there and doing a radio show or a podcast, you're going to get calls. And they don't come that infrequently. And typically, it's people that disagree with what you say. And this gets back to our old adage, and this is kind of why I took that detour talking about politics and investing and keeping our politics out of investing. And then investing's hard enough. Typically, when I get these complaints, I know that I'm right on the money. Because oftentimes, I get accused from people on the right of being a lefty, and I get accused of people on the lefty being a soulless capitalist and being a hardcore righty. When I get those complaints about one of my points of view, I usually think it really inspires confidence. If it ticks off both sides, then yeah, I feel like I'm onto something, you know? So probably the contrarian part of me. But anyway, I get this phone call. And the guy goes, yeah, I want to talk to Zach. And he goes, okay, well, who is this? And the guy says his name. And obviously this guy listens to the podcast or the show. So I want to let you know, I appreciate you listening. I'm not trying to make fun of you, okay, at all. I really want you to hear me because I do really care about the outcome for people. I really want people to benefit from this show. There are good guys out there and we are one of them. And I don't say this to make fun of you, but I just think it's a really valuable teaching moment. So he calls in, can I talk to Zach? And they go, well, Zach's busy, he's on the phone. Well, you know, can I have him call me back? Well, who is this? Gives his name. Well, we don't know yet. You know, you're not a client. Well, I listened to the show and I just wanted to make sure that Zach knew he's really missing something. He's missing AMC stock. This is a short squeeze that's about ready to happen to AMC stock. And he really needs to get on there and talk about this because this is going to be big. What I mean by the Dunning-Kruger effect is that a lot of people, and again, this isn't me bragging. I'm just stating the facts here for an example. I know for a fact that a lot of people listening to this show didn't know what a short squeeze was until we started talking about it in reference to GameStop. Now, we were talking about that in reference to GameStop between the prices of $12 to $20. You know, this didn't really hit mainstream news until GameStop went up over 40, 50 really. Okay, and the reason I say that is because if you think a short squeeze is coming in a stock, first of all, you need to understand you're playing with fire. When you have a large short interest against a company, do not make the mistake of thinking that the people on the other side of that are stupid. Short investors are typically your smartest, most well-researched investors. Why? Because stocks tend to go up. And these guys don't want to lose money. So there's usually very good reasons why they're short stocks. And there were good reasons why people were short GameStop. Why did we think GameStop was a short squeeze opportunity that we ended up being right about? Some very important factors. First of all, the price of GameStop, even though it was a company in disarray, even though it was a company with serious problems, the price of GameStop had that and a lot more priced into it. The price of the stock was dirt cheap. Okay. The other thing to consider, GameStop literally could not go bankrupt outside of some type of event think about the fact that they weren't even in danger of going bankrupt through COVID. Right? They probably had one of the most COVID-sensitive type businesses out there because it wasn't an essential business. They were shut down. And we know they don't have an online retail arm. Right? So they were done. Did it hurt them? No, not really. Why? Because they still produce free cash flow. Even though the company's revenues aren't growing, their costs are still lower than their cash flows. Okay, so they're still profitable. What does that mean? It buys them time. Here's the other thing. when you looked at their balance sheet, they had some debt, but they had net cash. I think at the time they had about $250, $280 million in net cash. Right? So that's a big pad. Right? And when their stock hit the bottom, I don't know where it's at now, but when their stock hit the bottom, when it was down there in the $2 and $3, $4 range, you know, the market cap on that company at that time, I believe it was trading lower than their cash levels. It was down like around $300 or $400 million. Then we flipped over and then looked at the short interest. How many shares of stock, right? How many people were betting against it? 120% of the float was betting against it. Okay. So the reason why we looked at that, and guys, we'd been talking about GameStop being a short squeeze for potentially 5 years. We didn't ever make the play because we didn't see the circumstances surrounding it being right for that to happen. When they hired Ryan Cohen and coming off of the deals, even though they're not game-changing deals, they were still new deals. The deals they signed with Sony and the deals they signed with Microsoft, in conjunction with the hiring of Ryan Cohen, we looked at that as being plenty of impetus to get the price of their stock back to fair value. Now, here's where the short squeeze part comes in. If we were looking at a somewhat sane level with some optimism priced into the stock, that level for us that we pegged was about $15 to $18. Well, here's the catch. GameStop had not been above $15 for three years or more. So what it meant is that we knew that everybody short GameStop, or virtually everybody short GameStop, was short at 15, you know, and if it wasn't everybody, it was 98%, 99%, but they were short at $15 or less. And we knew that a lot of them were short at substantially lower prices than that. So if if GameStop got just enough forward momentum to get the price back up to a reasonable level, not expensive, not euphoric, not anything, that $15 to $18 price level that it had just been at a year prior, we knew that that would trigger a lot of short covering. And how did we know that? We knew that because when you short, you were on margin. And when you're on margin and you get down 25% or more, you get margin called. Meaning the bank, the investment firm that loaned you the margin, that lent you the money to bet in the market, they're sitting there watching it because they're loaning it against your other stocks. So when they see that stock going down, they're like, hey, we'll let you keep this loan, but you got to put up more cash. We don't like you being down 25% because if this thing crashes, we might be left holding the bag. We don't want to be left holding the bag. We know Wall Street never gets left holding the bag, right? So what we knew is that there would be a lot of forced buyers of that stock at $15 to $18. We also knew because of the cash the company had on hand. Now, remember, the cash that they had on hand at one point, not net cash, but cash on hand that they had at one point was larger than their entire market cap. So they could take half of that cash and do a stock buyback and buy back 50% of the float. Right? So there were all these mechanisms that they could deploy in order to squeeze people, in order to squeeze the shorts, and they wouldn't even really need new investors coming back into the stock. Just the guys forced to cover their shorts that had shorted it at $15 or below would be plenty to get the stock to 35 or 40. Now, what we didn't count on was all the retail investors catching on and jumping on board and driving the thing to 400, right? Now, the reason I bring this up is I want to compare this to the AMC story. If you own AMC and you own it because it's a short squeeze, sell it immediately. You won't get a short squeeze. It's not possible. And this is why I was talking about the Dunning-Kruger effect. I was sitting there going, good Lord, this incessant rise in stocks, especially over the last 2 years, but really over this cycle, it's made investors that know the least get way too confident in what they think. And guys, here's another thing what I mean. The guy that called in, with all due respect, he clearly doesn't even understand what a short squeeze is. Because when you look at AMC, it's not even close to being a candidate. This is a company whose business is blown to pieces. This is a company that has $12 billion of debt. This is a company that has nowhere near net cash on the balance sheet. And it's a company that's trading at 6 to 7 times revenue. So it doesn't happen. And when you're here's another way you look at it. Let's say all of that 25% short interest had to cover. If you've got a company that's trading at 7x revenue and it's trading this much volume, go look at the volume on the thing. Those shorts, 25% of the market cap, they could all cover over the course of 2 or 3 days and it wouldn't really move the volume needle. And these people out there believe it. Well, it happened to GameStop. And I'm sitting there going, first of all, playing short squeezes, even when you know the stuff that we know, you're playing with fire. So when we did that GameStop bet, I think it was only a 1.5 or 2% position. Now, shoot, we made nearly 4x our money on it, so it still paid like it weighed. But even though we knew all those things, even though we had researched it inside and out, knew the balance sheet and all that, we still weren't betting big. Why? Because a lot of times short squeezes don't happen. And when you look at AMC, it has nothing in common with GameStop. Now, that's not saying AMC can't go higher. It's so ridiculously high right now. And don't listen to anybody that tries to justify this. You're going to find a lot of crazy people out there that'll say anything. I've seen people talk about AMC going $1 million a share, which would make it the most valuable company in the history of publicly traded companies. It ain't going to happen. So if you want to bet on AMC, know that that's what you're doing. You're just betting. You're just betting that somebody, you're playing what we call the greater fool theory. You're just betting that somebody will come along and pay you more for the stock. There is no fundamental driver to AMC. Trust me, there's none. And I don't know when that price of that stock will collapse, but you will see that stock trade back below $20 a share. You'll probably see that stock trade below 10. I wouldn't be surprised to see it trade below 5. I wouldn't be surprised to not see it exist as a company within 2 to 3 years. And just because everything you've bought has gone up, don't make the mistake of mistaking brains for a bull market. And just because you think it's a short squeeze opportunity and I just told you you're wrong, doesn't mean I think you're dumb. What I mean is it means you don't know what you're talking about. And when you're playing with money, when you're playing with retirement money, you'll learn the lessons. You'll learn them. But there's two ways you learn. You either learn through pain or the observance of others' pain. And unfortunately, most of us only learn from pain. But be very, hey, and even do it with me. Don't hear me talk about something, go out and buy it. I've heard people say that to me before. Oh yeah, I bought that because you were talking on the show. And I go, but we didn't buy it. Be skeptical, you guys. Don't start thinking magically. There is no magic. Fight the Dunning-Kruger effect. Be the sober person at the party. And most importantly, be careful to who you're listening to. And here's a really good hint on who to listen to. If they never tell you how they're wrong, probably not a good person to listen to. Because even the best investors' win rates are between 60 to 65%, which means 35 to 40% of the time they're wrong. And you learn your lessons from your losses, not your gains. Okay, so maybe they haven't lost anything. That should be a reason for you not to listen. That alone, right? Because they will, because everybody does, because nobody has a formula. And that's why we rely on risk management. Okay, because we don't have a secret sauce either. We need to make sure our clients are increasing their purchasing power if asset prices continue to rise. But most importantly, we need to make sure that they're simultaneously insulated from whatever is going wrong. It's also some of the reasons that we take shots on things like GameStop and Bitcoin and Bed Bath & Beyond and some of our biggest winners. Bed Bath & Beyond was a 10.5x winner for us in 8 months. Why? Because we see those scenarios and we can put in 2%. We can put in a small 2.5% position. If it goes against us, maybe it hits the account by like 0.2% or 0.3%. It doesn't make a big difference. But when you're right, like we were with Bed Bath & Beyond, we made 10.5x our money in 8 months. GameStop, we made almost 4x our money. Right? That's another side to risk management, because you know when to take some risk to generate some extra returns. And then the worst case scenario on the trade, because you made a small bet, you're not risking a lot. But most importantly, if you learn nothing else from this episode, remember the Dunning-Kruger effect. Go read it. And anytime you feel really confident, especially in markets like you've got them figured out, I've been doing this long enough. So whenever I feel like I've got a market nailed, and there are times where you do, there are times where you had a hot hand. My hand was stupid hot from October to about March of this year. Hasn't been bad since then, but the market's just kind of gone into sideways motion. I also knew that I had a stupid hot hand. And truthfully, even saying that out loud at the time made my stomach tighten. Because I know you're not always going to, you didn't just wake up and you can't just be flawless. And that's why we take the risk management approach. One of the things I tell people is the other reason we do the diversification we do and we take the risk management approach that we do is because I know I can be wrong. And I don't want my client's outcome relying solely on my ability to manage money. Got a very good track record that I'm proud of, but I've been wrong. Our value portfolio underperformed horribly. Well, I beat all the value indexes, but that wasn't saying much in 2019. Our value portfolio was only up like 10%. Market was up 30. Now, the benefit to our clients is the momentum portfolio we have blew it out of the water, and the combined performance of both of those underperformed a little bit by about 3.5% the market. And then the real advantage we had is then you went a couple months later, right, into COVID, and we were down 10 and the market was down 36. But my point is, guys, is there's a lot of magical thinking. There is a lot of nonsense out there. There is nonsense for every idiot running around out there. Everybody can find their minister of choice, right? Everybody can find their idiot out there spewing knowledge about this company's going to this and this is stock manipulation, blah, blah, blah. Guys, this is just a mania, okay? Don't buy into this stuff. Also, the best thing you can do in investing is admit you don't know. And if God forbid you're out there in GameStop right now thinking it's a short squeeze, look, the stock might go up, but you're hunting and you're not even hunting at the right place. It's not a short squeeze. It's not even possible. So anyway, we got to take a quick break. But if you're sitting there, and you know what we're going to do? We're actually going to get a little over. I told you I had a lot to talk about. We've only got about 3 minutes left in the broadcast. So we're going to roll over. Okay, so we're going to treat this just like the interview. If you want to hear the rest of the episode, which I'd encourage you to do because we got some other really good stuff going on that I really want to get to that I think can benefit you whether you're a client or not. And if you're not, I think it can benefit you even if you never end up talking to us. And this isn't about getting your business. This is about trying to educate. So you can get the rest of this on our podcast at knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, or just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Subscribe. You can listen to the show. And then this will be slated in opposite, kind of like an interview, so you can listen to the rest of what we talked about. But anyway, and then if you're listening to us talk about that, if you're listening to how we played that short squeeze in GameStop and how – If you listen to how we were hedged coming into this week, and so we weren't down, we were down 0.2 on Monday when the market was down 1.7. If you hear all that and you're like, you know, I sure would feel better if instead of just riding this crazy market, that I actually had somebody sitting at the controls, that I actually had somebody with skin in the game, meaning that if they lost me money, that it hurt them, that they were incentivized to make me money, they were incentivized to protect my money. That you recognize that this market's moving too fast and you got to be able to be nimble and you got to be able to pivot and you got to get out of the way when stuff's coming. If you recognize that, guys, give us a call. There's a better way to do it. We can drastically lower your risk. We can turn a situation like happened last March when everybody was thinking, oh my goodness, here we go again. Our clients were down 5 to 6% total and still finished the year with, on average, what, 13-14% gains? This year, they're up like 22-23%. Market's up like 14%. Okay, it doesn't mean less returns. It means more returns. It means better sleep at night. It means knowing that regardless of what happens, you're going to be okay, that your retirement's going to work out. If you recognize that, if that's appealing, which it should be, if you want a safer portfolio that can go up more and cost significantly less, guys, call us. There's a better way. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Follow me on Twitter, at KYRRadio. You guys know the drill. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. This is actually the end of the show, but log in to hear the rest of this because we are doing an extra session here. So you can hear the rest of this. And we've got a great a bunch of other great stuff that we want to cover. We're going to have a talk about reverse mortgages. We're going to talk about my one disagreement with Dave Ramsey and how it relates to you. And we're also going to talk about how to pick a money manager at an advisor. Should we be looking more at philosophy or performance? Anyway, all of these things will at some point, if not already, impact you. All of these things can potentially impact you, whether you're a client of ours or not. So that's why we're bringing it to you in the after-hours session here. But I would encourage you, if you want to get the after-hours session, like I said, Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast, go to Stitcher, go to iTunes, whatever the case, mynorthwest.com. Cairo's got our podcast on there. You can listen to the regular show, which we're finishing up now, and the interview separately. Anyway, you guys know the drill. Stick around for the extra session or hop onto the podcast to catch it. Anyway, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Hope this weather stays great. I will be back next week, as always, and we're going to be joined by Tobias Carlisle to dig into valuations because they are at records, so you don't want to miss that. Anyway, have a phenomenal weekend. See you next week. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast on 770 AM in Seattle, Cairo Radio in Seattle, and KLX in Portland. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.